Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 115, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist,
yeah.
A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers.
Wow!
And their Koch industries, and fuck Fox News. Dangerous. It's Monday, January 6th, 2020. Are we going to say 2020 or 2020, Jamie? What do you think?
We're going to say 2020.
2020.
2020. Did you see those that Barbara?
Yeah.
This is 2020. It's 2020.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hey, Zeit Gang, your daddy's home. He's not going to leave you all alone. Thinking about this dumpster fire. I'm Jack O'Brien. That is courtesy of Milk Swagger. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my special guest co-host, Jamie Loftus!
And we all say, oh, well, I never was there ever. A frequent guest so clever as magical little Zamboni. Do-do-do-do-do. That's, if you haven't seen Cats.
Oh, I really like that
from
song.
Cats.
I've never heard it.
You've got it. It's wild to me that you have not seen it yet.
I know.
I think four people have seen
it. I'm ashamed. No, it actually did better than you would expect for being
It made back like 12% of its budget. And we love that for Cats.
I do. And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Paula V. Gonalin.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi. Nothing. What's up with you guys?
Thrilled to have you. We're thrilled to be back.
To be here.
Thriving.
Living my best life.
How was your holiday? How was your New Year?
Fun. I was in New York and then I flew back on Christmas.
Wow.
Lots of people in the airport, which I was not expecting.
Wow.
But it's also, like, pretty cheap to fly that day, right?
It was cheaper. That's why I did it. But also, a lot of dressed up dogs. They're all like flying to and from home.
Special occasion dogs. Yeah.
Just by themselves.
Worth it.
With
unsupervised dogs.
To and from.
Unsupervised. The airport shuts
down. I don't
know. It's a dog daycare.
It's a dog park.
Tell me you wouldn't watch a Disney Plus movie called Unsupervised Dogs.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would watch it. I would watch the fuck out of it.
Isn't that what Lady and the Tramp is sort of? Live action Lady and the Tramp. I've watched the first 20 minutes twice.
I watched most of it, and Sonny was like transfixed.
Oh,
he was like barking at the CG dogs because something wasn't quite right.
What problematic thing do you think he was screaming at the screen?
Sonny was like, why aren't they cussing? just wish that the Tessa Thompson dog was swearing.
Yeah.
Do you think that they dogs get mad that they have stereotypes about different breeds?
I wonder. I don't know. I think anytime Sonny barks at a dog, I'm like, he's calling her a bitch, and he's not wrong, but it's not right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, let me smell that butthole.
Mm-hmm. Let me smell that hole.
Speaking
let me smell
cats.
Holes.
All right. Well, we're going to actually talk a little bit about cats. And
yes.
Pallavi, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. But first, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. Cats, obviously. We're going to talk about the situation with Iran. What is happening? We're at war, maybe? Going to be? Who knows? We are going to talk about the most perfectly timed viral campaign at the end of last week by Kohl's and Under Armour. We're going to talk about Democratic primary. We're going to talk about Marky Zuckerberg at Costco.
He's just like us.
He's totally normal.
The stars
are
just like us.
At ease. Segway is back. And she's more dystopian than ever.
Mm-hmm.
All of that and plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Pallavi, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I just searched. I had a tweet about communion, so I searched to make sure I knew what communion was.
Like the wafers?
Yeah.
And
it's exactly what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because my tweet was me finding out what communion is, and it's...
them crackers.
Yep. I was like, make sure you're not ignorant while being ignorant.
Right. That's right. They're the least crispy crackers, but they do melt in the mouth.
Do you guys,
in the hand.
Do you guys like, I don't know, do you find it like, I kind of want to watch him like wash his hands before he like feeds everybody crackers?
That's part of the Catholic ritual, I think.
Oh, it is?
I think, yeah.
I've seen it a couple times.
It's very ritual hand washing where you
pour
a little bit of cold water over their hand. And they're like,
I want like a good thing, happy birthday twice while scrubbing. I want to see
that. Happy birthday
trick. Because I've seen it a couple times and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know about this.
Catholic communion is like the most sinister shit you could witness. It's freaky. I don't know.
It also feels like he's just doing his dishes because, like, after the wine thing,
right.
He has to clean that out, and then you have to watch him like fold his dish towel, and then you're like, he's lonely.
Like, I like always find like watching Catholic rituals both sinister and weirdly comforting because you're just like,
did you grow up Catholic?
A little bit. We grew up like a lot of different stuff. I like did. We did Catholicism for a little bit, and then we switched over to Protestant, and then we were Wiccans for 5 minutes, and then we quit.
Wait, your whole family was Wiccans?
My mom and I were Wiccans.
Oh, hell yeah.
My mom got a lot of books, and then we went rogue for like a couple of, like a very short amount of time, like maybe a few months.
Did anything like prompt this?
My mom's best friend is Wiccan.
Oh, okay.
And the Pope of Wicca.
She's the
slapping hands
all
out of the
female
way.
Reboot of the Wiccan Pope. And so we were Wiccans for a second, and then we were just like, you know what? Let's just sleep on the weekend.
I have an uncle who like always changes religion. He's always like searching for something.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Started out Hindu, and then I think it's so he started out Hindu, and then he like found a guru, and then he was like Buddhist for a while, and then he was like really into like Reiki. He was constantly, and then
the last time
I went back, he was like, we need to talk about neuropathways. And I'm like, we don't, uncle. Like, I don't think you understand what's going on.
I feel like that is, everyone has like an uncle who's searching
for
something.
Yeah, the searching uncle.
I have an uncle who's always trying to invent something. He tried to invent a hand sanitizer that's like but it's a bracelet. I think he like took his, like my cousin's like
college money and was like, hand sanitizer bracelets are the future. We're like, I don't think it is.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Anyways, he's looking, he's searching.
Yeah.
He's buying the books.
Searching for a job for his son now.
I hope your uncle finds what he's looking for.
I also hope that uncle.
Shout out.
What is something you think is overrated?
It was what I talked to you about. I actually wrote this down before we talked about it. Dog diapers. I think they're
dog
overrated.
Suck.
They're so bad. The poop gets everywhere. Yeah. Ugh.
So people who have kids, imagine if your baby's ass was hairy. It would be impossible to clean.
And also, like, if your baby was a lot faster,
right?
Around.
Yeah, and there is just shit like trailing behind. It's a nightmare.
It's because every time I tell them that my dog has accidents, they're like, "Use dog diapers," and I'm like, "You don't have a dog,
right?
Like,
yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about."
I think they're okay for pee.
Yeah, they're okay for pee, but you never know when the poop's going to come out.
Do not use them for poop.
They're so bad.
But they're so cute.
They're very cute.
Yeah, they are really cute.
Aesthetically.
Dog butts are very cute.
Dog asses rule.
Yeah, dog butts are very cute. Like just walking them, like watching them like scurry around. They look like teddy bears.
So watch the way it moves.
Oh, man.
I love to
see it. Look at that thing. Look at that thing move.
That's all they're thinking when they go to sniff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Look at that thing.
The same thing we're thinking.
No one can resist.
I get it. No, dogs, I get it. I get the obsession. What is something you think is underrated?
Roommates. Everybody's always complaining about their roommates, but again, my roommates help me with my dog.
Oh, wow.
But they're very sweet, and they're also, it's also good to have roommates that are not in comedy when you're a comedian.
Yes, yes, right. Absolutely.
Like, oh, you guys have other lives and aren't narcissistic. Yay!
Yeah, I feel like having roommates who aren't necessarily like part of your same scene or like your friends, that's something I never did, but like I've now known people who have
your kids?
Done that. Yeah, they're
Your kids both have podcasts.
Yeah,
right, so. They are on this network.
Yeah.
It just hasn't dropped yet. We're trying to get their language skills up to par. The one-year-old is really struggling.
I totally agree with you though. Yeah, it's like way. I like living with people who also like have like a limited grasp on what you do and vice versa. You're like, oh, this is nice.
It's like being back at home.
Yeah,
like with parents who are like, what? You use that in your little comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Use that in your comedy.
Or they like give you ideas because they're not just talking about comedy the whole time. So they're like, I read this article about this other thing that's not just on Twitter, or like, oh, did you know this thing was invented by this? And you're like, what?
There's a level of sincerity you can't access in your day-to-day life. It's great.
It's dope.
That is great.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
This one I always have a hard time with, but today, because I was looking it up, female orgasms. No, I'm kidding. I do like a web series called Dirty Science, and for the next episode, I'm going to talk about female orgasms, and the female orgasm was right now, it's not associated with like ovulation or anything, but in other species and perhaps in the past, it might have been like it might have been the reason that women were like you orgasm and then it like coaxes you to ovulate. And,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it might have been like a part of the progress of like having a baby.
Oh, okay.
But now it's not. What up?
Now it's just for funsies.
Now it's just for funsies.
I heard that 207 senators went to SCOTUS and said women can't legally come anymore.
Yeah, it's against the rules.
Oh, boy.
Well, speaking of all sorts of orgasms, Jamie, you saw Cats.
I did! Yeah. Oh, okay. So, wait, Pallavi, have you seen Cats?
I saw the original Cats on Broad fucking Way. When I was a child. And
what's
then,
up?
Did you love it?
Honestly, the only thing I remember was like during intermission, they had the main king cat guy. I don't remember any of it from now. But like they had the main guy just sit up on stage and you could like.
Judi Dench cat, yeah.
And you could like walk around him and take a picture and he just like sat still.
Right, so wasn't that part of the thing that like the cats come into the audience?
Do they do that in Broadway on Broadway?
I don't remember them being near me, but they were like all over the place.
Oh,
yeah.
Because I'd seen two local productions of it, which is I don't know. I would love to see a production of Cats that was like by competent performers, because I've seen two local ones and they were incredible, but for probably not the right reasons.
I thought you were going to say that one, a performance by Cats for Cats.
I would like to see.
Cats, let's see where Cats is. Okay, so So Cats is, I think the new Rocky Horror in terms of everyone has been saying.
Oh, yeah.
People will watch it at midnight. It's so horrific to look at, but I loved it so much. It's so good. It's so horny. There's no, one of the great things about it is that there's no way to spoil it for anyone. You can just talk about Cats freely because the plot is nothing. It's just cat after cat after cat coming out being like, I'm the cat that does this thing. And then Idris Elba shows up and turns them into dust. And that also kind of has nothing to do with the plot. But Idris Elba is the villainous cat, right? And he's giving it 110%. God only knows how long it'll take him for him to bounce back from this. Because he was supposed to be James Bond, and now he's this cat, right? But anyway,
do you think he's still just permanently this cat?
I don't know. People committed to the cats at varying levels,
right?
And
who is the least committed?
Oh, that's a good question. The least committed, I would say, would probably have been Taylor Swift, and she was still pretty committed.
I didn't even know she was in it.
She's in it. They clearly had her for 2 days, but she was in it. She plays like Idris Elba's like femme fatale cat.
Harley Quinn.
This is basically Joker. Yeah. Idris Elba's Joker. But they like wrote a song for her. There's all these great cursed images of her and Andrew Lloyd Webber sitting down together. I'm like, what could they be talking about? But she's
everything.
Like, she's like, I love Evita. but so she's in it, and they like the things that they do to the cat's bodies are very bizarre. Like some cats have very voluptuous human features, and others are just cats.
And then like what's her name like unzipped her fur. I saw that.
Rebel Wilson.
So that scene I think is the one that people have seen who haven't even seen the movie.
Yeah, that's
where
the one
Rebel
that was
Wilson
like
unzips her fur
and there's more roaches, fur. But hot pants.
Oh,
the roaches are also in that scene. Rebel Wilson, I would say, is one of my least favorite cats. It's not a her thing. It's just a hard part of the movie.
And is she eating roaches in that scene?
She's eating roaches, and then they zoom in on the roaches, and the roaches are kind of like dancers, circus dancers, and they have top hats and they have human faces, and we don't like it.
No. And real cats eat roaches?
No,
that's not it. No. Well, I mean, they eat rodents, but it's not like, yeah,
I don't know.
Like my dogs have eaten roaches before, like just because they saw a big bug and it seemed like something fun to eat.
I feel like it's more like accidental than a like cat thing.
Right. Exactly. But the scene that I saw, it seemed like it was, you know, they had a hunting method to like knock it off the.
The whole thing is, I think Ian McKellen committed hardest to being a cat in the traditional sense.
Right. He's really swishing around.
He's
with
switching
the tail.
Around. He's going, wow. There's one time where he basically looks to camera, is like, wow. You're like, wow, 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 wow. My favorite cat was Jason Derulo cat.
Okay.
He was unbelievable, committed harder than I've ever seen. And also on the Cats press tour, he was like, this is genius. This is the best fucking thing that's ever happened. And he was mad. He was upset that they edited out his bulge.
Package.
Yeah, because Jason Derulo is really into his bulge.
Yeah, loves his dick.
Yeah, which I know for sure because I text. No, because, I went to.
He won't stop DMing me.
I went to Madame Tussauds recently.
Oh,
no.
And they have a wax Jason Derulo, and the package is
impressive.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, like it was clearly a part of the
children
contract.
Children go there.
Children go there. It's
they're at
markedly
package
bigger.
Level too.
Yeah exactly.
The children are at. It was alarming how.
I mean, so there was. It started with his Instagram post where he was wearing underwear and he was just like had his big thing hanging out to the side.
I love that story so much because he like said it got taken down.
He fought back.
He clapped back.
Yeah,
and said, like, "Where's my bulge pic?" And then he also said that picture was candid, which if you saw it, was clearly taken by like
it looked like a fashion
Annie
photo.
Leibovitz Jr. Like it was like not a candid picture. Oh, Jason Derulo.
Now, there is some controversy from Cats about whether Ian McKellen's character eats his boyfriend Cat's asshole or not.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll have to see it a third time to tell you for sure.
Did you see it twice?
Enhanced.
Did you really?
Yes.
A lot of people I know saw it twice.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's really fun.
Because it's confusing the first time, I think.
Yeah, and then the second time, you're just like, you just kind of like go to this other, I don't know. I saw it in a big group the first time and a smaller group the second time. Don't go alone. Definitely don't go alone. And don't go like to an afternoon screening. It's meant to be in a group full of people that are like vibrating at night.
And bring your cat.
Jennifer Hudson is, I mean, it's like, this isn't fair to her, but she still delivers.
Right. She sings Memories, right?
She sings it like four times, but that you can tell. She sings like a verse every 20 minutes. And then at the end, you get the Jennifer, like the, like it gets really, but she like gives you a taste so many times. And then she plays the cat that like, so in the show, she's the cat that like no one likes, and you're like, why? But whatever, they just don't like her.
Right.
And so like the main cat keeps going out and being like, hi. And then Jennifer Hudson sings three words of Memory, and she's wearing this huge coat. And then she gets on her hands and knees and crawls away. And it's, they do this long shot multiple times of Jennifer Hudson crawling away in this long jacket.
Right.
And you're like, some of the cats wear jackets also, others don't.
Huh.
Idris Elba's wearing clothes the whole movie until the end. At the end, he suddenly isn't, and it's like, put the clothes back on.
Oh, right.
Because he's like ripped.
But he's like a cat. Human ripped, but
yeah,
a cat.
They're like James Bond training on a cat.
Right.
And then they gave Taylor Swift these like gigantic cat titties that are human titties that
but
are
just
also
two
not
of them, right?
Her. Yeah, just two of them.
Right, just when, human titties.
When
yeah.
there's, she, there should have been six. There
well, right, cats have six titties.
Have you ever picked up Caitlin a pregnant a cat or like a breastfeeding cat?
Have I?
No.
It feels so fucking weird.
Oh,
you're like,
God.
My 12-year-old dog, like now you try and pick him up and like part of him like doesn't come up with you. Like it's just like he's like all jiggly all
he's
over
shifting.
The place. Yeah. I feel like that's the closest I've come. But
the closest you've come.
Yes.
But my the best cat in the movie for me is Skimble Shanks the railroad cat.
Played by
some guy.
Oh, really?
Stephen McRae.
Stephen McRae.
He looks like a legit dancer. Look at that.
He is, yeah, there's a few cats that are like professional dancers, and that's why you don't know who they are. And then there's like James Corden, and you're like, no, thank you.
he's like in a carpool
is he
karaoke
unnerving?
Bit.
James Corden is giving it like a weird amount of, like he's good. And then they also like clearly let him riff, and then they didn't cut it out. Like, I'm like, don't let James Corden riff.
And then
what are you doing?
Didn't cut it out.
Can you imagine? I get like letting him do it.
But,
I'm like, he's not gonna shut up
wait,
if you don't let him
like,
do it. But like, I just like, and then they didn't cut it
like,
out.
When
they
you say riff,
CG fur.
Like adding, like he's riffing on like the idea of cats, or he's like doing jokes.
He's doing like he thinks he's in a Judd Apatow movie. Like
no!
He's just like he's improvising. Whatever.
Ooh.
Whatever. I like, you know, he can, I like him in the car. I just don't like when he gets out of the car.
Oh.
That's my
get
thing.
Get back
James
in your
Corden,
car.
Stay in the car.
Is his
and
background like musical theater or something?
Yeah. And he's also like the most despised person in Britain.
People
for,
don't like him.
I don't know what the
people
reasons
hate
are.
Him.
But
they think
hate
we're
him.
Idiots for liking him.
Oh, really?
It's
yeah.
like, it's kind huh. of like Ricky Gervais where like they were almost like the UK hated them so much that they just came to America
here.
And
yeah.
started bothering us.
Wait, the UK hates Ricky Gervais?
Everyone hates Ricky Gervais.
What? He's what? My favorite. No. He's,
what the fuck?
I actually really love the British Office, but
But that was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while
did
ago.
Did you see that Ricky Gervais tweet about Joker?
No,
Ricky
what did he
Gervais,
say?
He like, oh wait, it was like so earnest and you're like, yikes, sweetie. Demi Adijuibe tweeted it.
Oh yeah,
recently.
I did see this actually.
It was just like Ricky Gervais being like, wow, performance of the century.
Of the decade.
Me love it so much.
Right.
Just like, oh yes, he said film and performance of the year, prayer emoji hands. And he tweeted at the Joker movie Twitter account too.
Oh, okay.
Embarrassing for everybody.
This
I feel like with cats, Going back to Cats.
Yes, please.
Do you actually think it's going to ruin Idris Elba's like career? Because I feel like there's so many Cats in there that you can't distribute.
No, he'll be fine. He'll absolutely be fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Okay.
I think the dancer Cats we're seeing, we'll never see them again on screen. We'll have to go to the, you know, French ballet to see them.
Right.
Jennifer Hudson's going to be in the Aretha Franklin movie.
She'll be great.
Like, literally everyone's going to be fine.
There's too many cats to target.
So the director.
Tom Hoover will not be fine. His life is over.
His life is over. His family has
destroyed
him.
My cats.
I respect the shit out of what he did, though.
Isn't it amazing?
Because it's like such a risk. He created something that now like exists in the firmament of people made fun of me for calling so many movies iconic in my look back at the decade and our look back at the decade. But
this is
I do
iconic.
Feel like this has become. I can't like it's a cultural thing that everybody is drawing on that is in like the cultural mind firmament now.
I like that you don't have to be good for that to happen.
Yeah. You just have to like be weird enough and like I don't know. Like there's
here, remember this uncanny valley of cats.
Right.
He's gonna have to make indies until he dies, but I'm glad he did this.
Right,
I'm
me really too. Glad he did this. I mean he started with the King's Speech, which
I have a voice.
I was always mad at that movie for beating Social Network.
Saw it twice in theaters.
Yeah, I was mad at it because Jamie saw it twice in theaters and thought that was more than it deserved. but it was just like a blah movie. And then he made Les Mis, which I thought was like blah and bad. So
yeah,
like for him to go in this direction.
He made The Danish Girl, which also has not aged very well.
Oh, yeah.
And then he made, I mean, of those four, Cats, I think, is by far the strongest. And history will remember.
He looks like he should have been in King's Speech.
Right. Like, it's like, this is me.
And it's like, it took so much. It's all so expensive looking. They had the practical effects makeup, and then they put CGI on top of the practical effects makeup. And so it's very unnerving, but it's good.
And they also, like, somebody was like, I forget who it was. They tweeted it, but they were like, I figured it out. It's because they didn't give them cat noses. They were like human noses. And then she photoshopped and gave them like cat noses, and somebody else made them more cat like, and it looked so much better.
I feel like they look more cat like on stage than they do in the movie. Yeah, because it is just like Rebel Wilson's face. That makes sense.
We should have done the thing that they did with like Sega or Sonic.
With Sonic.
We just pressured people. That is an interesting
new trend where people are like betting like $150 million on these giant CG products, but like for some reason they're not like focused group testing the
Or just like stepping back for like a second.
Like give it a night, sleep on it, guys.
Show it to your wife or whatever.
Yeah. Be like, oh, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I do like that everybody pressured for the Sonic thing to be better because it was so much better after. They're like, your art isn't the art we want.
Right, yeah. He shouldn't have weird teeth like that.
Yeah.
Weird human teeth. Well, all right. Well, this is obviously a developing story we'll be returning to over time.
If you haven't seen it, see it with a loved one who is like on the fence of whether they want to see it, and then they will be fully on board.
Yeah.
I saw Bombshell over the break. Ugh, whatever.
Oh, I wanted to know about that.
Well, it was all the performances were good, but it was like written and directed by two straight white guys. And so they were just like, this is feminism, right? And you're like, no.
Right.
So that was whatever. Little Women liked it. Cats, I mean, by far, whew, I loved it so much.
Really?
Well, of those three, which will stick with me? Cats. But I really did like Little Women too. Everyone should see that too.
Little Women too?
Little Women.
They're smaller. The tiniest women.
This time Beth lives.
No. Spoiler alert. In case you haven't read Little Women.
Someone yelled at me for spoiling Little Women. I was like, shut up. I saw a tweet recently that was like, there's a cut scene at the end of Little Women where Beth Sands shoots out of the grave.
Sam Jackson drops in. Yeah. He's like, we need you.
Can you look that up, whose tweet that is, so we can cite them? It's a great tweet.
That was really funny. But yeah, that's good too. Everyone should see it.
Yeah. I loved Uncut Gems.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw Knives Out.
I didn't see Knives Out.
Oh my God. It was so good. And it was original.
It rules.
It's so perfect. It's the perfect movie.
It rules.
It's what, another one of these movies that's like an original. It's not part of like existing IP, and it's doing really well at the box office. So maybe that will be the trend of the 20s. Maybe we'll stop making nothing but sequels.
I'm going to go
like
see
Little Women 2.
There's some Beth's Revenge.
Beth's Revenge.
I'm going to go see it, I think, one more time because Rian Johnson did like a director's commentary that you can like bring to the movie theater with you and listen while you watch it.
Weird.
So I think I'm going to go do that.
It's like a museum.
He was one of my favorite interviews on I think it was the Girls in Hoodies podcast, which we now have the on Grantland. We now have the descendant of that with all the women from that show called Night Call on our network. But they interviewed Rian Johnson. And he was so interesting to listen to. And
he's
such
fun.
A smart, like just interesting person. Like his thinking about movies is really interesting.
Big fan.
I liked it so much. And I was like, why aren't movies like this? Seems simple. It's just a good script and then good performances and like being self-aware. Like, why aren't not all movies this?
Right. Yeah.
And like also it's like one of, I don't know. I feel like it made me think about how rare it is to like be able to tell that everyone who's performing is enjoying themselves.
Oh,
and
right.
It made me think of other movies I'd seen recently where I'm like, they did a good job, but I don't think that they were like
having
stoked
fun.
To be there. Yeah. Like everyone in Knives Out seemed like they were so happy to be in that movie.
Yeah, it was
so
great.
Fun.
Well, you'll be disappointed to know that the studio has quietly rolled back all their campaigns to have Cats nominated for Academy Awards.
Mistake.
Yeah.
Mistake. No, truly, I think that them taking the Taylor Swift song out of the original song consideration is a mistake.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I, over the break, saw The Family Stone, which is a very old Christmas movie that... I don't know. It was fine. And I saw The Grinch, the new Grinch on Netflix.
Cumberbatch Grinch.
35 times.
I saw the Netflix documentary, Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, my God. I saw that on Christmas Eve.
What is it?
Oh, my God.
I don't want to watch it.
You need to watch it.
Don't want to watch it.
Okay, I'm getting mixed messages here.
It makes you very uncomfortable the whole time. You're never comfortable, and you're just like, why is this happening? And I kept having to look away.
Yeah.
Like, because I was so, almost started crying.
All right. Actually, before we get into the details of the plot from this documentary, spoiler alert, guys, if you want to watch this documentary, which has lots of twists and turns, you know, fast forward a couple minutes. Three minutes? What do you think? How long do we talk about?
Yeah, three, four minutes.
It's been haunting me for a lifetime, though.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait to forget about it.
But it's about this, like, guy who put up these videos of him torturing cats.
Oh no.
And then a Facebook group was formed to find him, and the methods that they use are good.
So like yeah, they were smart but like unethical and like
yeah.
So weird.
Oh yeah. Very, and it was just like vigilante people like searching
right.
for him.
Internet
and then
vigilanteism is scary.
Yeah. And then he ends up like I don't know if I like it's not a spoiler because it's already happened in real life, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, no.
But he like kills someone. He kills a person because it was escalating his videos. And then
he was
this Canadian guy, and he sent the body parts to like the Canadian
like Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Like give his
he like and it was and these people were tracking him, and the police weren't like listening to them or like what
it was. It's a wild like I think that the documentary maybe gave a little bit too much credit to the internet vigilantes, but it was like a really interesting
internet
story.
Internet vigilantism
and,
is like,
and I feel
I've
like
just,
you shouldn't encourage it too much.
No,
because
that time,
it reminded me of the marathon bombing.
Yeah, the Boston marathon bombing was really scary. That's what like. Because I was in there. I was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely the dude. Like, I wasn't writing that, but
I was like
following it closely and, like, trusting Reddit.
I was,
and, like, ready for them to, like, take out this guy who it totally wasn't.
We were in our basement apartment, like, in Boston, being like, they found him, and they hadn't. And there was, like, a sort of story about that in Don't Fuck With Cats where they thought they had found him, and they ended up kind of targeting this, like, person who was struggling with depression.
Yes.
Who ended up... taking their own life. It was bad.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
and then Elsa at the end, I hated the end. The end was like the last
weird ending.
The end, she like they were like, we don't know if we encouraged him, but because he joined the group, like the guy.
Oh yeah.
He joined the group and he gave them clues, like, and that's why they were like on his. That's the only reason that they like
Jesus.
Got. But like, and so they were like, we don't know if we encouraged him because he wanted the attention,
right?
And then at the end, like, so she's telling her story, right? And then she's looking at a person off camera. And then at the end, she turns and makes eye contact with the camera. And she's like, she basically gives you a lecture of whether or not you should even be watching this documentary.
And I'm like, you and it's did like, this.
You're in the fucking documentary.
At the end, she does that?
She's like, so I don't know if we... And I'm like, wait, but you know it's so shocking because she looks into the camera for the first time. It's like the Peloton ad where you're like,
what? What the
you
fuck?
You know what's kind of funny? It ends very similar to Cats, the movie. Because at the end of Cats, the movie, Judi Dench breaks the fourth wall and is like, now that you've seen Cats, how are... she sings this long, it's in the musical, but she sings this whole song about like, you should be nice to your cat, ask them what their name is, like it's she breaks the much like Don't Fuck with Cats, they it's just a woman out of nowhere breaking the fourth wall and making you feel not good.
I feel like the toxoplasmosis parasite is a lot stronger than we thought.
It's everywhere, we're all infected,
we're like, what is happening?
Seriously,
a lot of Cats content.
Wholesome movie that is very good. Ooh. Klaus on Netflix. Ooh. Klaus. It's like an original, and it's like the origin story of Santa Claus, but it's all like, it's so good. It's
is it
so
a documentary?
No, it's an animated.
It's in another internet vigilante thing.
Okay. They hunt down Santa Claus and murder him. No, okay. No, it's like a, it's an animated like children's movie, but it's like so.
Where the first Santa Claus came from?
Yeah. Oh, but wow. It's like, it's just so good. And it comes up with like clever ways of his origin story, like that's another funny way it could be, you know.
Aww.
It's not like real, but yeah.
Cool.
It's like Batman Begins for Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's so good though. And the animation is amazing.
But this time next year, we'll be talking about Santa University and how it just came out to critical acclaim.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with all the bad stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And yeah, as Jamie just pointed out, we talked for a half hour without bringing up the fact that World War III may be starting. Yay! We're going to bring in super producer Anna Hosnier, who's been following this story more closely than I have. And yeah, your family is from Iran. What's up, Anna?
Nothing.
Happy 2020, buddy.
If you've been on the internet, maybe you've seen the World War III is coming, which, I mean, World War III, I don't know, that's kind of a weird thing to say, because it's more, maybe you heard, the U.S. decided to assassinate Qasem Soleimani, who is the, he was the military leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which mm-hmm. the U.S. and other countries like Saudi Arabia have designated them as a terrorist group. So they killed him in a drone strike at the Baghdad airport in Iraq. I was at classically LA Anna. I was at Whole Foods when I got the news alert and
sipping some green juice.
Yeah. Just. And there was a moment while I was standing in the hot food area. Where I think I saw the news alert, and then I think I stood in place, just like in complete like panic, like not like panic, but just like, oh my God, for about 10 minutes, because a woman like pushed me aside. It was like, excuse me, I need to get to my mac and cheese.
Right.
And to me, I was like, goodbye, lady. Like it was just, I can't really, it just...
To you give Sarah some context, Connor on her, and we're like, don't you realize we're all dead?
Yeah, we're all dead already. I was like, yeah, enjoy your mac and cheese, bitch, because that's it.
Right.
But to give some context, this man, Soleimani, while known as a very evil man to us and most West. Iranians.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you live within the country, some people support the regime, some people don't, as
Got it
goes.
Okay.
But he's known for being a very hardline leader. He was loved by the supreme leader, Khomeini. Maybe you know who that is, but he is the literal supreme leader of Iran and one of the most terrifying people on earth.
Right. There are pictures and video of him kind of consoling the family and like, you know, with a photograph of him next to him.
Yeah, let's just say this man was like the number two in Iran in a sense. Not
like...
literally, like he wasn't like, oh, I'm one step below the supreme leader, but he basically was, and how he was treated with respect and his opinions, how like his feelings on things were, they were taken very seriously. So he could go to the supreme leader and be like, I want to do this. And the supreme leader would be like, hey, you know what, Soleimani, I trust you. And that's kind of the intense situation we're in, is we killed, basically. It's like if you kill someone's best friend and that person is very dangerous and is going to react. Definitely going to react because he's like, yo, you killed my best friend. And another way, it's like we showed up and we killed Pompeo.
Right.
And we would all be like, damn, that was too bad. Well, our loss, like it's not going to go down that way. It's actually like we've made a big old gaffe.
Right.
To explain it.
So what was the lead up to
this? So at the end of December, there's a lot of like tension in Iraq right now. Iran has a lot of influence in Iraq, which Iraq doesn't necessarily like, because they're trying to run their own country and they're trying to come back from the Saddam Hussein days. Like there was ISIS had taken control. Like there's so much going on in Iraq. I feel like has been trying to get back on their feet, and it's not really been possible because of all the kind of proxy wars going on within the country.
Yeah.
So a U.S. civilian contractor was killed and several troops were injured in a rocket attack in Kirkuk. And the militia group
that goes by Kateb Hezbollah was blamed. And if you kind of know, Hezbollah has been said to be an Iranian proxy group. There's a lot. It's hard to understand who is getting from what, but a lot of these.
And Kirkuk is in Iraq.
Yes, Kirkuk's in Iraq. Sorry.
And a U.S. civilian contractor. So it wasn't a U.S. troop or a U.S. soldier.
It was it was probably someone who was like being
like BlackRock type.
Yeah, being like, hey, I could get you these weapons for a good price. And then December 29th, U.S. planes, they bombed three sites in Iraq. One of them, Al-Qaim, and then two sites in Syria, and 25 people were killed. And the sites are all tied to that Hezbollah proxy group.
And those 25 people, were there any like civilians or are they all Hezbollah?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
To be honest with you, it's if it was Hezbollah, like it's very hard to find out the numbers because they're not.
Those distinctions are like so foggy. It's like, how do you know like that somebody is part of the militia or somebody who was like a family member of the militia or, you know?
And then December 31st, militia-backed protesters attacked the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, and that is said to have been planned by Soleimani, which where on January 2nd, the Iranian military leader Soleimani and five others, they're killed in a U.S. drone strike at the Baghdad airport. The U.S. officials have called it a defensive action, and they say, now this is the thing. Pompeo said this was because an imminent attack was going to take place.
Right.
And apparently they have intelligence of this. But then the Pentagon came out and said it was meant to deter future Iranian aggression. That's two different things.
Yeah.
So that's we don't know what's real or what happened.
Shooting someone who has a gun aimed at you or being like, that guy seems dangerous. I'm going to shoot him based on my judgment that
now,
he's going to.
I have another question.
Sure, go ahead.
So what happened with the embassy like siege? Like, did anybody die or did like...
Yeah, I think there were, I don't know the exact
Not U.S. ambassadors, though.
No, a lot of people got out.
I don't
think
anybody died, actually.
You don't think so?
I think it wasn't
death?
Well, there was like an official like announcement from the White House saying that people, like Americans in Iran should leave.
Oh, yeah, they got to get out.
This morning.
Yeah, it was getting dangerous, and but they eventually were able to get control of the situation. There was some speculation that the Iraqi government allowed it to take place because of Iranian influence, and so it's, you know, it's basically like Anna said, it's this like a proxy war that's going on for like struggling for influence, and you know, Iraqi leaders are not thrilled to have either of those people there like pushing them around, and so it's just a very complicated situation where different people are doing the bidding of either Iran or the U.S., and it just seems to me like this is a very provocative assassination that's taken place that it just seems like it's a next or a higher level than any military action that the U.S. has taken anywhere in a long time. Like, it just seems like it's very provocative and also easily could spark something much larger.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
I mean, I think that's what people are reacting to.
Well, yes. And it's kind of, it's a wild thing because this has been leading up, like we've been leading up to this. Trump has been causing problems with Iran since he pulled out of the nuclear deal. And there's this clip we have from Bernie Sanders that I think kind of nails the perfect amount of like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, if you attack another country, that's an act of war. And you want to play it?
Was President Trump's decision this week to call off that strike the right one?
See, it's like somebody setting a fire to a basket full of paper and then putting it out. He helped create the crisis and then he stopped the attacks. The idea that we're looking at a president of the United States who, number one, thinks that a war with Iran is something that might be good for this country.
He was just doing a limited strike.
Oh, just a limited strike. Oh, well, I'm sorry. I just didn't know that it's okay to simply attack another country with bombs, just a limited shot. That's an act of warfare.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
And that was recorded 6 months ago before this, when we were still dealing with drone strikes where they shot down a U.S. drone over the Strait of Hormuz. Like, this has been going on for a while. And You just can't go and kill a top military general then think nothing's gonna happen.
How she like was talking, she was like, it's just limited though. And I'm like, do you know that people like are dying? It's so removed like from our like lives that people like don't understand like how exactly what we were talking about earlier. Like, we aren't given the truth about who's dying and why things are done. And
it's like so underreported here that you have to like really, really, really look for what's going on.
Yeah. And it's hard to say, like, they don't give us any information. We don't know if the U.S. has an exit plan. We just know they've deployed over 3,500 additional troops in the Middle East because Iran vowed exact severe revenge on the U.S.
Paratroopers, too, which I didn't know. Is that still
I don't know.
I think everything's still a thing.
Paratroopers are back.
Yeah, even, like, Jamie said they told the Americans to leave. They were like, you got to get out. Now you're literally, you have a what is it called when there's like a thing or
target?
A target on, sorry, yeah. Useless. You have a target on your back because Iran is looking for you. They want to either one, capture probably Americans to use as like a political bargaining tool, which, hey, guess what? No one's bargaining with Iran. Yeah. So you have to get out of there for your own safety.
I heard Iran said, it is what it is.
Yeah, they were like,
Irishman
sorry,
joke.
Bro.
Sorry, go ahead.
CNBC had a headline for an op-ed that was, America just took out a man many consider the world's number one bad guy. Like, the propaganda machine is already starting.
That piece is written by a warmonger. I read that piece. Do not believe. I mean, it is, the facts are there, but the way it's written is like, oh, well, now all these Iranians can finally look forward to this great new life without this like man overlooking them. And it's just like, that's not how it works.
It was terrifying because this is from 16 hours ago and they're already spinning it.
Like, oh yeah, of course.
It's insane.
I mean, it's like, how many wars are we going to have to live through in our like lives? But I feel like it's kind of unbelievable that they expect people to still fall for that.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, we were alive for the last war, and like y'all said that too,
you guys
and no
totally
one's gonna
fuck that up.
I don't know.
The New York
Times. But I think the danger is that people do believe it.
Yeah.
Like when you people don't. I think there's like an issue with people being able to like critically think and pick between media.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think maybe like we know and we are aware, but it's like that's the terrifying part is that they do have influence
and they're like already deploying it. I thought I found like very, I mean, all of this is terrifying, but just when the news kind of broke, it didn't seem like anyone in the White House or elsewhere had like a lot of information or like warning that this was going to happen. Like Trump did the fucking low quality JPEG of the American flag,
It
was like, I tried to look for, you know, like sources of like just to contextualize it a little better. And most people who like report on the Middle East were like, we don't fucking know what is going on.
Yeah.
And
it took him until the following day, the 3rd of January, to say, We terminated him, and which very cool. And then we took action to stop a war, not to start a war.
But But also, they think Pentagon says they're not going to have a press briefing. The Pentagon,
right?
Did you guys just drop a bomb less than 24 hours ago to assassinate a man, and you're not going to have a press briefing?
This is the danger of having a modern president, where you know so much of the, you know, breaks and protections that are put in place are norms, and he doesn't like, you know, honor any norms. So, you know, he just does stuff by his gut, and we're left to sit back and wonder, you know, why he did them. I mean, I think that's the big question a lot of people are speculating about now. Like, one of the things I had given Trump credit for, and this is a redefinition of lowering the bar, but, you know, despite being a completely ego-driven narcissist bordering on solipsism with the functional intellect of an insecure 12-year-old, he has managed not to end the world through the first 3 years of his presidency.
Yeah.
And that all may have changed now. And the most generous interpretation, I think, is that when you have somebody like that with no morals and no convictions, they are always going to be around the generals and the military industrial complex, and there's just going to be this gravitational pull to try and pull them towards starting a war. That's just how, Like, what the scariest thing about Trump getting elected to me was this anecdote about the Cuba Missile Crisis when JFK and RFK were the only people in the room who opposed actions that would have ended the world. But they were like, no, we're fuck the military leaders. Like, they just want to start a war. And like, they had to have backbone and like leadership qualities to stop that from happening. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have that sort of person now. So that's the most generous interpretation. Now, there are some other interpretations going around. Like, some people have pulled out this quote from Trump during the Obama administration, where he repeatedly predicted that Obama would attack Iran to help him get reelected. And we even have a video. Let's hear what the president had to say.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate.
True.
He's weak and he's ineffective.
True.
We have a real problem in the White House.
Ding.
Yes. So I believe that he will attack Iran sometime prior to the election because he thinks that's the only way he can get elected. Isn't it pathetic?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well done. I feel like
he doesn't understand. Like, you don't just attack Iran. You just don't do it.
Yeah, no, nobody.
No,
it's a bad idea to go to war with Iran.
So good arrogant. Vibe.
Yeah.
It's so arrogant to think that you're like the world's police.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some articles I think there were opinion pieces from people who are like more, you know, the center left even, who were saying like, nobody fears us in the Middle East anymore. And that's a problem. And it's like, is it? Is that a problem that like we.
And also they do, because we keep fucking things up.
Right.
It's the incompetency.
Also, the last time a president was impeached, I will read you a New York Times headline from that. Impeachment vote in House delayed as Clinton launches Iraq airstrike, citing military need to move swiftly. So this there might just be a presidential like playbook where they're like, if impeached, launch airstrike in Iraq.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to end this, what a war with Iran would look like. Just to be clear, Iran's not going to come bomb the U.S. If you fear that we are going to go to a World War III on our mainland, that's not going to happen.
Right.
So don't fear. But the Middle East will become so deeply destabilized. A lot of people will die over there. And Iran can attack U.S. military targets in the Middle East, like in the region. And of course, I think proxy wars will step up and go even beyond proxy wars, where Iran will be the people being like, oh, it's us.
Right.
You know, it's us. And guess what? We're probably all going to get hacked.
Right.
Because Iranians, very smart. They know how to hack.
Right. And they also,
can ruin our infrastructure in a lot of ways.
They are allied with Russia. So, I mean, that's the other big fear I think people have.
Well, Russia is dying to take control of the Middle East, and that is just...
Yeah, I think this could...
Yeah, it could give them what they wanted. Oh my God, the long con.
Yeah.
And Pallavi, you're totally right about just like the media being weaponized to kind of get people on board and convince other... I mean, even the way that some presidential candidates have been tweeting about it are like a little bit... I don't know, wishy-washy of like, well, he wasn't a great guy, so it's not horrible, but also it you know, like
terrorist is trending at 800,000 tweets or whatever. It's like that's just how they're painting him without talking about the repercussions of everything.
Yeah.
Right. Well, also trending right now is something that I think is on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
And that is Kohl's and Under Armour
have teamed up
for a collaboration, a sweepstakes. So as everyone was worried that the world was about to come to an end,
I love the segues.
The top six things trending on Twitter were about the story we just talked about, U.S. airstrike and
World
assassination
War
III, of
Trump's war,
Iran's top military leader. And then the number one or two thing trending at any given time on that day was Kohl's X Under Armour.
I mean, I'll always remember being in the Whole Foods when I learned about the Kohl's X Under Armour teaming
collabo.
Up.
And this lady was like, my mac and cheese. And I was like, not your mac and cheese.
I was like,
now,
don't you understand?
The Under Armour.
They're finally teamed up. well, you know.
Jesus, there's so much news to talk about, but we're not going to have time to get to all of it. So it'll still be there,
tomorrow,
I guess, unfortunately. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and there's all sorts of other important things happening. Mark Zuckerberg was spotted at Costco.
Oh my God.
Pretending to be human.
Headcanon. He was there with Priscilla,
his wife.
And
is that your impression of guys with wives?
Yes.
This is my wife.
A Bechdel cast in joke on not that show. They went together in... they went in hell. They went to the Costco closest to hell.
Right.
And they're looking at flat screens, first of all. So don't make no mistake, they're still rich.
Right.
But my theory is that Mark was being naughty, naughty in their big, scary mansion. And Priscilla was like, you know what? We got to bring you back down to earth. I've heard of this place.
This is your punishment.
It's called Costco. And she, as a punishment, he had to walk among the people.
He's looking at the flat screens in this photograph with a look of almost like bemusement,
like, oh, look at that. That's cute. There's like a little flat screen there.
Do you think he was just walking around Costco like, oh?
Yeah.
Oh,
the boys.
Look at what they do.
He was walking around going hot or not.
listening to that.
It's like, let me create a website to rank all these things.
He's like listening to the music in Costco, like, is this Despacito? He still hasn't heard Despacito.
I can't find it anywhere. Well, Facebook needs an
That's
audio.
That's how Mark is trying to relate to the kids. He's walking around like, what's Despacito all about? Oh, boy. Mark, he's a supervillain, but he went to Costco. So we have no choice but to stand, Jack.
Yes. No choice but to stand. That is our 2020
that's
motto.
That's why Sam's Club is the club of the people.
Dude, I've never been to a Sam's Club.
That's all we had in Utah. Or that's the only one that my family went to in Utah.
It's like a Hardee's Carl's Jr. thing. I think they're owned by the same company.
We had a Costco, but my parents refused to, like, they thought the membership prices weren't fair. So we went to the ice cream stand outside the Costco, which is very reasonable.
The pizza's good, too.
Pizza is like good snacks.
Giant pizza with, like, way too much cheese on it.
But then you get like shafted at the door. You can't do anything.
Yeah. But then you can't get in to get the chickens, which are the whole... Somebody was telling me about like some article they read where the costs benefit for Costco to sell those chickens, because the rotisserie chickens at Costco are famously like some of the best anywhere.
Oh,
and
really?
They only cost $4.99. And
so
yeah,
what's going on?
So
what's
they do it. They put it at the very back of the thing, so you have to go buy all the stuff in order to get there. And so even though they're losing money on the rotisserie chickens selling
it
at that, they make it back just getting you in the door.
Smart
and
design.
And also because of the
If I ever lived in a space that was larger than 2 feet by 2 feet, I would get a Costco membership. But unfortunately, I don't have space for items.
Or if I ever like lived with people that would love me. And
right, like if I ever like had love.
If I ever found love, then I'd go to Costco.
I would like to. I like the ritual like of Costco. Like I want Costco for myself someday, but I'm not there yet.
When Kanye said gotta use ID to get inside a Sam's Club, he was talking about bearing his soul to the love of his life. That's what he was talking about.
I want to get into like an argument at a Costco. That's what I want.
Costco
it's the
parking
new
lot.
IKEA.
Exactly.
Costco parking lot is pretty intense.
Like, have you gotten into it in the Costco parking lot?
I have not, but I can see myself doing that in one of my weaker moments.
That would be a really fun... Okay, I bet if I spent a couple of weekends walking around either in IKEA or a Costco parking lot, the things you could overhear would be life-changing. Like the gripes you would hear between people would be so good.
That's a podcast. We should.
I'm dropping everything.
There.
I'm
fuck
just gonna
everything
walk
else.
In a circle around the Burbank IKEA for 6 weeks.
But yeah, because people are pushing around shopping carts that are the size of cars, and people are also like fighting for parking spots.
You can't bring a car you like into that parking lot.
Right. Yeah,
you have to bring like your bumper car.
My spare.
You have to use the cart as a car and Flintstone your way out of there.
People should drive their Segway eggs in there.
How many flat screens do you think Mark Zuckerberg bought? He's just looking at them so adorable.
But I feel like he's like looking at it at like the screen technology and is like, this is trash.
Bro, I'm like, sure.
He's like, what would be cooler than a million screens? A billion screens.
His like eyes have better screen technology. He's like updated. He's a cyborg now.
Right. Oh, well, God. And also he probably has people come and perform TV shows for him in person.
Silicon Valley, it's just TJ Miller in his apartment, reenacting everything.
That's TJ Miller's second act.
Yeah,
he's Mark Zuckerberg.
I said apartment about Mark Zuckerberg. No one caught that he lives in a fucking mansion.
Not in he for sure lives in. I wonder what his house looks like.
He has an entire block of houses. He bought a mansion and then bought all the neighboring houses so nobody could see his mansion. So imagine like growing up in this like weird post-apocalyptic like block where like there's just abandoned houses like surrounding you. Like his that would be so
Jeffrey
strange.
Jeffrey Star
for his
just
kids.
Did that. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just...
I don't know who that is.
Makeup artist.
Jack. Yes.
I got really depressed and I watched all those rival videos of them fighting with each other. Like
really?
James Charles and Jeffree Star and somebody else. The other lady.
Jeffree Star is a strange person. But I like him, like Shane Dawson is his little like Igor now. And so they just did like a big house tour of Jeffree Star's new house. And it's like a Marvel villain. It's so scary.
And Shane Dawson was the one who had to tweet about not fucking his cat.
Yes.
Right? Okay, great. And
all
we bring
these
it
very
back to cats.
Sinister YouTuber. Yeah. That Shane Dawson. Oh, that was my highlight of the decade. Shane Dawson was like, I didn't have sex with my cat. How many times do I have to say this? I didn't have sex with my cat. I know I had sex with my cat, but I didn't.
He was
I
joking,
took it back.
But then when you look at it, it seems like he had sex with his cat.
And also, I didn't know who Shane Dawson was before that tweet.
Right.
That's
a hell of a way to put yourself on the map.
My brother and I have this horrible ritual where we watch all of Shane Dawson's videos together. It's some of the worst content you could ever make.
What does he do?
So basically his deal is he makes so much money off of YouTube. And you can tell that he, like, because the longer people watch your YouTube videos, the more money you make. So he makes absurdly long videos about nothing. And it's like, he'll do these, like, expose documentaries. He's done one on one of the Paul brothers. He did one on Jeffree Star. And it's just these, like, 10-hour long documentaries
really?
That he'll make. Yeah. And they're mostly about him and his husband. But then also you go to Jeffree, like, and it's the most obnoxious thing. He edits it himself and it shows, like, it's really nasty. It's a really nasty corner of the internet. And it's like populated almost solely by children, which is also weird.
Yes.
But he's like the most one of the most popular YouTubers. Every one of his horrible videos has like 10 million views.
Anyways, check out his documentary, Don't Fuck Cats. Not to be confused with Don't Fuck with Cats.
Remove the win.
Not to be confused with cats.
Very good.
It's called Don't Fuck Cats, parentheses.
I would never.
My cat.
I would never.
All right, one more story I think we need to talk about before we go, because I think this is going to shape the way we look in the future and the future looks in the future. Just in time for 2020, Segway is back. And
the Segweg.
The Segweg. Holy shit. It's an egg. It's a Segway. It's a Segweg. It's the chair from WALL-E.
It's literally the chair from WALL-E. Okay, I'm thrilled about the new Segway. DJ Daniel told me that I didn't know that Segway makes birds and limes. So they're actually... We've been laughing at them and making Arrested Development jokes about them. But in the meantime... She's been thriving, you know, like Segway is killing it. And they just introduced this egg chair that it's basically they're like, OK, standing is over. We're all sitting now. You're sitting in the chair from WALL-E and you control it with a little joystick, although they're trying to develop technology that you can just kind of lean in, but it doesn't work like a regular Segway. You have to drive it like a little video game. It goes up to 24 miles an hour. It's called the S-Pod, even though it should be called the Segweg.
Yes.
And thank you.
That was this whole time.
Why isn't it called the Segway?
See, the media brands things the way they want to.
Absurd.
And they're not even good at it.
It's like when they had the sequel to Now You See Me called Now You See Me 2 instead of Now You Don't. You're like, this is a very clear mistake.
Right. What is wrong with you?
But it's called the S-Pod. And Segway also admitted for some reason that it was inspired by the gyrosphere from Jurassic World, which is really embarrassing for them.
Okay, right. I was getting major like grandparent up the stairs chair vibes.
Yes,
right?
It has that
where
too.
You just like you're like sit in this.
Well, it looks like a kind of futuristic jazzy scooter. Because,
yeah,
like it's a jazzy scooter except it's on two big wheels instead of four little ones.
I mean, it just has like I'm sure that it will be helpful for many people.
Yes, absolutely.
But in terms of a major consumer product, it is dystopian adjacent.
Yes, we're all gonna be giant, billowy, pillowy, soft-bodied WALL-E people.
And if we were like annoyed with like the scooters being in our way before. Like, this is going to be so annoying.
I mean, the scooters became such a... I still think the scooter is, like, one of the funniest things just like a person, a human douchebag can do is just go like ride out of a room on a Segway scooter.
But it's like every friend of mine that I've talked to has gotten into an accident on a scooter. I've been hit by them several times.
I don't know how they survived the fact that the guy who bought Segway in 2010 bought it and promptly drove it off a cliff and died.
What?
He didn't buy a Segway. He owned the company. His name was Jimmy
died.
Heselden. Mm-hmm. He was a British multimillionaire. He bought Segway in January and then drove one of them off the company's, drove one of the company's two-wheeled scooters off a cliff and into a river and died.
Okay, to be fair, that's
62.
That should be an Adam McKay movie, right? Like, sounds like an Adam McKay movie I want to watch. That's wild.
Yes. But they're apparently doing well with their limes and
his legacy lives on through
absolutely.
This Segway.
I mean, I remember when they released unveiled the Segway in the first place, like there was a lot of mainstream media buzz, like there's going to be a innovation that's revealed tomorrow that is going to change the future. And it didn't, but they kind of did with the limes and the
except for that one guy.
Birds.
Yeah.
And they changed that guy's
future. They changed
future.
His future.
Right. Guys. what a start to 2020.
Yikes.
Paula V, it's been a pleasure having you. Find you?
I'm at Paula V. Ganalan, PallavIGunalan. And that's my website, my Instagram, my Twitter, and my Facebook.
All right. And is there a tweet or some work of social media that you've been enjoying?
Yes. My friend Caitlin Weyerhauser had a tweet at Uncle Kate. They said, I love going up to women who are clearly with their boyfriend / husband in public and asking, I'm sorry, is this man bothering you? Because 9 times out of 10, she will say, you know what? Actually, yes. And that's a completely legal way to make strangers fight.
Right. Jamie, is there a tweet you've been enjoying and where can people find you, follow you?
Okay. So you can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help and Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. You can listen to My Year in Mensa. It came out 2 days ago. It's the whole Mensa thing. It's done. I'm done. You can listen
You're
to done. It. It's 4 parts. It's done.
Boom.
A tweet. Well, listen, I'm just going to need a second.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Well, listen, Jack, I've never prepared for this part. Do you have one?
I do.
You do? Oh, well, yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't know we were being silent just for me. No, you go.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying from Pixelated Boat. In the last decade, I met my future wife. I got my legs stuck in 2 separate toilets. I got married. I sued the toilet maker for $14 million. My wife left me for a guy who wasn't stuck in 2 toilets. I lost the toilet money gambling online. Legs still stuck in toilets. Blake Wexler tweeted something that I completely identify with. He tweeted, 10 or 15 times since visiting my parents, I've meant to turn on a light, but instead hit the garbage disposal switch. And let me tell you, it does not get any less startling. And then the volatile mermaid at Oh No She Twittent, tweeted, future history class teacher, how did World War III start? Anyone? Yes, Khaleesi. Kid, it's teacher. No, I meant Khaleesi M. Her hand was up first. It started because President Trump was jealous that President Obama was more popular. Teacher, correct. Holster's gun. David Gout to hell. Tweeted energy I'm channeling in 2020, and it's just a screen cap of somebody else's Twitter, Eras, E-R-R-A-S, who tweeted, this edible is taking forever, and then immediately after, Sega PlayStation.
I'm gonna cite, I was going through some best tweets of the decade lists, and I'm gonna cite maybe one of my favorite tweets of all time. I like to RT it every once in a while. Piers Morgan tweeted it on September 2nd, 2012. It reads only, I want to die.
Did he really?
Yeah, he's never deleted it. People retweet it all the time. Real Piers Morgan tweeted in 2012, I want to die, period.
Oh my God. just a cry for help that has not stopped crying.
There's many good ones. All Cory Booker's creepy as coffee is my girlfriend tweets. There are a lot of good tweets in the 2010s. The website should be deleted, but you know, Piers Morgan once said, "I want to die." Period.
Yes. And the tweet that Jamie referenced earlier was from one of my favorite writers, Anna Drezin, SNL writer, former Cracked writer, at Anna Drezin. She tweeted, "Gotta stick around for the Little Women post-credit scene." And then in parentheses, Beth's hand shoots out of the grave. A man in a lab coat looks up. It's Jeffrey Wright. He takes off his glasses. She's ready. An extra hands him an AK. Let's just hope she's on our side. Blackout. Yes. I had liked that. All right. Well, you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Super producer Anna Hosnier, do you have a song for us to ride out on?
Yes. So I heard this recently. It's a cover of Clint Eastwood by the Gorillaz, but it's by this group called Freedom Fry. And it's really cool because they do even like the Dell, the funky Homo sapien part. It's just so great. It's really well done, and I enjoy it, and it's very like low key,
right,
like fun, same vibe,
and a callback to those halcyon days when we called French fries freedom fries.
That's right.
You remember that?
Hey guys, stop calling them French fries. They're freedom fries.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
My
it's
wife.
20.
We both called them freedom fries.
It's 2020.
Same McDonald's. And
if you're still eating carbs, you're out of your goddamn mind. Just joking.
Find another way to insult the French. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this first episode of 2020. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Saturday, January 25th, 8 p.m. at the Gateway Theater in San Francisco. We are going to be doing a live show. I think we have confirmed guests.
I'm
going
to be in town then.
Sketchfest. Are you really?
Yeah, I'm doing
you should come. That'll be so fun.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so you guys check it out. Tickets are going incredibly fast. So
okay.
I don't know if that's true.
Ours are going at a normal pace.
Do not have access to the numbers, but I'm sure that has, because come on, Zach, get out there. All right, that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow. Miles will be back tomorrow, and we will talk to you guys then, because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Talk to you then. Hey, we'll talk to you.
Hey, okay, Jack.
Stuck on. Hey, man, I'll talk to you.
I want to die.
Just getting like 3 inches.
Finally, someone let me out of my cage. Now time for me is nothing, cause I'm counting no age. Now I couldn't be there, now you shouldn't be scared. I'm good at repairs, and I'm under a snare. Intangible, bet you didn't think so, I commend it to. Panoramic view, look, I'll make it all manageable. Pick and choose, sit and lose all your different crews. Chicks and dudes, who you think is really kicking tunes. Picture you getting down in a picture tube. Like you lit the fuse. You think it's fictional, mystical, maybe spiritual. Hero who appears in you to clear a view when you're too crazy. Lifeless, if those are definition for what life is.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.